On Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis, eight lines down from the top of the page, the Mishnah had already established with regard to the comparison between Kefel and Dalet Vehei that Kefel has a broad scope and it applies to any object that was stolen, whereas Dalet Vehei only applies in the cases of Shar and Seh exclusively. In other words, Midas Kefel Meruba al Midas Dalet Vehei. And now we want to analyze the source of this halacha that limits Dalet Vehei to Shar Vaseh. And we start by reading the pasuk, which is going to occupy our minds now, in Shmos Chaf Aleph, pasuk Lamed Zayin, Ki Yignov Ish Shar Oseh Utvacho O Mecharo. Chamisha vakar yishalem tachas hashar v'arbat zon tachas haseh. Please take note that this pasuk is split down into two parts, the resha and the seifa. In both parts, the Torah mentions shar oseh. In the first part, ki yignov ish shar oseh. And in the second part, which means the payment, for either tvicha mechira, the Torah says chamisha bakar yishalim tachas hashar ve'arbat zon tachas haseh. And one of the questions we're going to raise here is, did the Torah have to go out of its way to mention shar vaseh twice? Why repeat shar vaseh? We have it once. The Gemara now is going to ask a different question about a gzeirah shavah. When we see the word shar in the Torah, here, of course, in the context of a gazlan who was toveach or mochar es hashar, that word shar should be connected to the word shar that appears in Dvarim Perek Hei in the parasha of Shvisas Behemto. And that's the Gemara's question here of Amai. Why should we limit Dalet Vehei to shar vaseh? Nalif shar shar mishabbos, we should derive from Gzeirah Shavah comparing shar in Gazlan Dalet Vehei to shar in Shabbos with regard to Shvisas Behemto. There in Dvarim Perek Hei, in the parish of Shabbos, it says lo saaseh chol melacha ato vimcha vitecha etc. etc. v'sharcha v'chamorcha v'chol behemtecha. You're not allowed to work your animals. And although shar is specified, it also says kol behem tech, to include all kinds of animals, which means even not only just behemoths, but also chay v'yof. And the mitzvah shvisas shabbos, shvisas behemto, applies to all categories of bali chayim, including behema chay and of. Is malahalan, just like we've seen by Shabbos, chay v'yof kayotzim and chay v'yof have the same din as behema, even though the animal that's specified here in the Torah is shar, is afkan, chaya v'yof, kayotz ben, here too, by equation, in the case of tashlumei dalet vehei, the payment should include not only behema, but also chaya v'yof, and even within behema, not just shar vaseh. Again, you might ask the following question. Even though I grant you that there is this gzeirah shavah, shar shar to Shabbos, but the Torah itself made a distinction here in the parish of Dalet Vehei between shar and seh. In the case of shar, you pay hey. In the case of seh, you pay dalet. We don't find such a distinction between shar and seh with regard to shvisas behemto. So once the Torah has specified the unique categories respectively of shar and seh with regard to dalet vehei in the case of gneva, then that indicates that we're not dealing and we're not operating in the same context with the same rules that govern shvisas behemta. And why is it that the Gemara feels comfortable making this equation, this analogy between shar of Shabbos and shar of dalet vehei? And perhaps in order to answer this question, we're going to have to mention the Gemara later on Daf Ayin Tesamid Beis. And there, the Gemara makes a distinction between Shara and Seh about the fact that we have to be more machmir in the case of shar because of bitul malacha, or we have to be more lenient in the case of seh because he carries the seh on his shoulders, and that's humiliating. So therefore, this distinction between shar and seh really has to do with the internal mechanism or logic that governs the law of dalet vehei, the type of penalty and the extent of the penalty that we should impose upon the ganav. But as far as the fundamental issue as to whether shar and seh include all bali chayim or not, that answer should be derived from this gzeresh of the equation to Shabbos. Omar Rova, Omar Kra, shar vaseh, shar vaseh shnei pa'amim. The Torah began by saying ki yignov ish shar oseh, and then the Torah began with ki yignov ish shar oseh, and then the Torah concludes with chamisha boka yishan tachas ha-shar, v'arba tzon tachas ha-seh. One of those two times, either in the Reisha or the Sefer, is completely superfluous. And when the Torah repeats something, and that repetition is referring to a prat, to a specific detail, it's coming as a mute. Shar vaseh in, midi achrini lo. The Torah re-emphasizes shar vaseh a second time in order to tell us that this is an exclusionary rule, that shar vaseh and no other animal. There's no other animal where the din of tashlumei dalvei is noeg, with the exception of shar and seh. That's something that we derive from the repetition of shar v'seh, the emphasis on shar v'seh, the exclusion of other animals. Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Shar, raises the question, why did the Torah feel compelled to write seh pa'amayim? In fact, it should have been enough to write shar pa'amayim, to exclude the equation, the gzer shavet to Shabbos. Because in the gzer shavet to Shabbos, all we have in Shabbos is shar. We don't have seh. So if the Torah in Dal Vehei is calling our attention to a commonality, a similarity between Dal Vehei and Shabbos, insofar as the word shar is common to both, then by re-emphasizing the word shar a second time around, that should have been sufficient to tell us that we exclude other Bali Chayim. Why, therefore, does the Gemara feel that in order to accomplish this goal of breaking up the Gzeir Shava, the application of the Gzeir Shava from Shabbos, and limiting the Chiyuv of Dalet Vehei to these two categories of Shar and Seh, why did it have to repeat both Shar and Seh? And Tosus answers that had the Torah not repeated itself as far as Seh, in addition to Shar, we would have said that the double language of Shar is coming to exclude other Bali Chaim from the din of Chamisha of Hay, to tell us that we should reduce it down for other animals to the category of Seh, where the din is that the Ganav pays four times rather than five times. By repeating the word Seh, the Torah is coming to exclude all animals even from the din of Tashlumei Arba. That's the brilliant Chap of Tosus. Amri, the Gemara answers, Hai miyater, what does Rava have in mind? The Gemara wants to know. So again, Rava already answered our question. Let's just review. Rava has already established that from the superfluous shar v'seh in this pasuk, we're going to exclude anything but a shar v'seh as far as dal v'hei, and we're going to break up the equation of the gzeres shavah to Shabbos. Now the Gemara wants to analyze the meaning of Rava. When Rava says that the repetition of shar v'seh is superfluous to derive this miut, shar v'seh in, midi achrini lo, which shar v'seh did Rava have in mind? Hai miyaser, which one did Rava understand to be superfluous and to be used as a miut? Ilema shar v'seh the sefer. The Gemara goes backwards in this pasuk, because usually you would say that in the Reisha, when you're introducing something like Dalet Vehei for Shar Vaseh, you start with Shar Vaseh, and the superfluous repetition is in the Sefer. E lema Shar Vaseh, the Sefer Miater. If Rava had in mind that we could have omitted Sharva said in the Sefer, the Nichtov Rachmana, the Torah would have simply said, Kignov Shar Ose Utvacho Machoro, Chamisha Bokar Yishalim Tachtov, the Arba Tzon Tachtov. And we would have understood, without the Torah having repeated itself in the Sefer Shor V'Seh, that obviously Tachtov, when it comes to the five Bokar, that's a replacement for the Shor. When it comes to the Arba Tzon Tachtov, that's a replacement for a penalty for the Seh. The Torah in the Sefer, therefore, did not have to repeat the words Shor V'Seh. You drop them, you omit them, and you lose nothing from the meaning of the Torah. And we would have derived everything. Namely, that Chamisha Bakar is a replacement, a penalty for the Shor, and Arbatzon, a penalty for the Seh. Says the Gemara, this cannot be right. Why? Because of Rachmana Hachia, the Torah omitted Shor and Seh in the Sefer, this Pasuk. Hav Amina Boy Shlumei Tisha L'chol Echad V'Echad. When the Torah leaves out Shor and Seh, it just simply says, pay five and four. What it means is, no matter what animal was shechted or what animal was sold, the chiyuv is five plus four, meaning five bakar and four tzon, which means that sach hakol, no matter what you shechted, what you stole and shechted, whether it be a shor or a seh, he's going to pay five bakar plus arba tzon. Therefore, by the Torah adding the word shor and seh to tell you that the chamisha bakar is tachas ha-shor, and the arba tzon tachas ha-seh, the Torah is telling you that the maximum penalty we impose upon the ganav in this case is five for a shor and four for a seh. We will never add together five plus four. The interesting thing is that if we would have had this havamina that a person pays nine, meaning the ganav, the gazan pays nine, tamid, no matter what animal, which animal he had stolen and shechted, then why did the Torah bother to say the word seh? No, shor we need in order to derive from Shabbos many different halachas. But seh seems to be totally superfluous. In fact, if the shor engenders this chiyuv of paying nine, then the seh likewise would generate a chiyuv of paying nine. That's a strange phenomenon in this sugya. In any event, continuing, the Gemara says that let's analyze if it's possible to reject this argument that the Hav Amina was, leaving out Shor V'Seh and the Sefer, that you'd pay nine. The Chi Teimo, says the Gemara, I have an argument as to why the possibility of paying nine is completely excluded. Haksiv Tachtov, Tachtov. Even if I leave out Shor and Seh in the Sefer, I still have the word Tachas and Tachas. And if the Torah had meant to say that you pay nine in each case, it would have said Chamisha Bokar V'Arba Tzon Yishalim Tachtov. It would have combined the Chamisha Bokar V'Arba Tzon under one Tachtov. Why did the Torah make this chilik and say that Chamisha Bokar Tachtov and Arba Tzon Tachtov? That split indicates that in case A, you pay five bakar, in case B, you pay four tzon. There is no case C in which you have nine. It's either five or four. Those are the two possibilities. And when the Torah says, Chamisha bakar yishalim tachas ha-shaviyacha v'arba tachas ha-seh, the double language of tachas is completely superfluous. And therefore, the extra word tachas in this pasuk is coming to split between the two, lafuki, to undermine the possibility, the logical possibility, that he pays nine. So the Gemara says, chad tachtov miyater, hahu miboyle l'drosh achrini. Your argument to split between the five and the four is not really correct, because you're basing yourself on the extra word tachas, and that extra word tachas comes from a different drosh, a desanya we learned in a braisa. Yochol, I might think that a ganov, shor, shovem mona, if a man steals an ox that's worth 100 zuz, a very healthy, valuable specimen, and now you have to pay 5 Bakar Tachtov, the Ganov. Is Yishalim Tachtov, Negidin. Negidin means, Rashi explains, based on a pasuk elsewhere in Breishis, Kchushim Krovim Lomos. We're reminded of the dreams of Paro, you know, the Sheva Rakos. Meaning, let him give a gaunt, skinny animal, of the same species, obviously, Bakar, to replace the shark that he shechted. Because after all, you have to give shor tachas hashor, but it doesn't say that the shor has to be exactly the same value, the same health, etc., a specimen. Talmud lomar tachtov tachtov. Therefore, the Torah had to write tachas hashor, tachas hashor, to teach us that tachtov means shavah kamoso. Don't give me an animal that's about to drop dead. It is, you know, it's on its last leg. Don't give me a shor chalush, a weak one, as Rashi says here. That's no tel amavis. It is kachush ukarov lamavis. Don't give me that, but rather tachtov. Give me something that qualifies as tachtov. Tachtov gives it a certain chashivus, meaning it's up to par and equivalent in value and health, etc., to the one that he stole and shechted. And if that be the case, you don't have the extra tachtov over here to teach you to split between the chamisha buck and the abetzon. We come back to our havmina before, that you pay 9 on any single gneva, whether it's shor or whether it's seh. And therefore, we need in the sefer of the pasuk, the lafuki from this 5 plus 4, 9 havamina, to set up a distinction between the 5 and the 4, the 5 referring to shor and the 4 referring to seh. The Torah is absolutely justified in repeating shor and seh in the Sefer. Ella, therefore, the Gemara goes back by process of elimination and says that what did Rav have in mind when he said that Shor V'Seh is extra, and therefore it's used as a miyut to exclude all our other animals, is L'Shor V'Seh D'Reisha. And that's miyutar. And when it says in the Reisha, Ki Yignov Ish Shor O'Seh, you could drop the words Shor O'Seh, D'Nichtov Rachmana, let it write the following. Ki Yignov Ish Kiyignov ish utvacho o mecharo. Again, without specifying what he stole, what he shechted, what he sold. But then the sefer comes on. Chamisha baka yisham tachas hashor, v'arba tzon tachas haseh. He pays 5 bakar to replace a stolen shor, and 4 tzon to replace a stolen seh. Therefore, the Torah could have gotten away with conveying its entire message, b'shleimusa, by having Shor and Seh in the Sefer, and dropping Shor V'Seh in the Reisha. And therefore the Reisha, since it has a superfluous Shor and Seh, is coming to exclude any other animal. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Ikos HaRachman HaHachi, if the Torah would have written, Ki Yignov Ish Utvacho O Mecharo, Is Chamisha Bok Yisham Taksa Shor, V'Arba Tzon Taksa Seh Havamina, Ad Degonev Trey, V'tovach lehu. This whole parasha of Dalet Vehe only applies when, and if and when, he steals 2 animals, and he shechts both animals. And if the Torah in the Reish had not told us that he stole animal A or animal B, separating between the 2, we'd have assumed that he has to have violated this Iser by stealing both a Shor and a Seh. And then the Torah tells us in the Sefer that as a result of the fact that he shechted both a shor and a seh, he will have to replace and pay back the nigzal chamisha bokar tachas hashor and arba tzon tachas haseh. The Torah in the Reish of this pasuk is telling us ki yignov the describing the ma'isa avera. The Torah in the Sefer is telling us the Tashlumen for this Avera. If the Tashlumen is 5 Tachas HaShor and 4 Tachas HaSeh, then it means that the Avera itself in the Gneva was both the Shor and Seh. And therefore he's penalized for both Shor that he stole and Tzon and Seh that he stole. But if he had stolen only one of those 2 animals, this whole parasha doesn't apply. And the Gemara answers, Utvacho Ksiv. Utvacho is in the grammatical singular. And its implication is l'chad, only for one animal. He shechted one animal. If our havmina would have been correct, it would have said utvacham in plural. The Gemara is still not happy with this. V'yema, Perhaps one could say that the reason why the Reish had to spell out Sharo Seh is to exclude the case of Mechira Adigonev Travayu Umazbinle, until he steals two animals and sells them. Because again, you've only answered the case of Tvacho, but in the case of Mechira, maybe he, in the plural, sold two animals, and then and only then is he Chayev Dalavei for Mechira. And the Gemara answers, U'mecharoksiv. Just like it says U'tvacho in singular, it also says U'mecharot in singular. Lechad, indicating that he sold one stolen animal. But V'yema, once again, Havaminev, had the Torah not mentioned Sharo Sen Ereisha, I would have come to the following mistaken conclusion. Ad Gunav means up until, or not until, I should say. In other words, he doesn't pay, he's not penalized with Dalvei until the Gunav Trey Vitavachad Umazvin Chad. Maybe it means that he has to steal two animals, he has to shecht one and sell the other. Because again, what have you told me? You've established that Utvacho is in singular, Umacharo is in singular. But what it means, he stole two animals, he shechted one, and he sold the other. Then and only then is he chayev. So the Gemara says that that's not a valid havamina. The Torah doesn't have to worry about that. And why not? Because it says, O Micharok Siv, the extra O, means either this or that. Either there was Tvicha or there was Mechira, but you don't need Tvicha for one and Mechira for the other. The Gemara still asks the question, Vakati, I still need both Shor and Seh, the Havamina, Adigon of Travayu, Vitovachad, Umeshayerchad, Omazvinchad, Umeshayerchad. I still need the Torah to tell me, Kiyigdov Shor O Seh, to teach us that he's chayev on the gneiv of one of them, because if not for the shor or seh spelled out explicitly, I would have said that he doesn't pay until he steals both of them, as it says in the punishment, tachas ha-shor v'tachas ha-seh, notice he did both, and he stole both. As far as tvicha mechira is concerned, he shechted one of them and left the other one out. Oh, he sold one of them and left the other one out. So I could still justify the O, I could still be within the perspective of the O, which indicates that he didn't have to slaughter or sell both. It was either or, but nevertheless, it's talking about a case where the Gnev itself was on two animals. El, and now the Gemara swings back to its original position. Shar de Seifa Vise de Resha Miyater. When I say the Gemara is going back to its original position, that's not 100% accurate. But with regard to Shor de Seifa, now the Gemara is reiterating its original understanding that Rava meant that there's some superfluous word in the Seifa. We thought he was referring to both Shor and Seh in the Seifa. That's not so. I'm definitely going to need the word Shor, you know, it's one of those two animals in the Seifa. And not only that, there's an extra word, seh, in the resha. And miyata, this is extra. Why? The nichtav rachmana, the Torah could have said thusly, ki yignov ish shar utvacho o mecharo. So only mentioning shar in the resha in the maisa geneva. Chamisha boki yishalim tachtov, the arba tzon tachas haseh. The Torah could have left out the word seh in the resha and shar in the seifa. Then we would understand very well that if he steals a shar and shechts it or sells it, he pays chamisha. If he does the same thing to a seh, he pays four. Is shar the seifa v'seh the resha lomali shmamina shar v'seh in midiachrini lo. From the fact that the Torah added a shor in the seifa was unnecessary, a seh in the resha was unnecessary, it's to limit and circumscribe the chiyuv of dalvei dafka to these two animals, shor and seh, and no other animals. Now that it says shor and seh in the seifa, and the Torah could have written chamisha boka l'shor v'arba tzon l'seh, L'chora, the words taktav and taktav are completely superfluous, but the answer is that's coming to teach us that he can't pawn off on the nigzal a weak, trafidic animal, trafid meaning it's about to die, a goseis we'll call it. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Ein agoniv achar ganav mishalim tashlumei kefel. The Mishnah establishes that the chiv kefel only applies to the original ganav number one, who removed the animal from the rishus, from the house of the nignav. He pays kefel. Now, the animal is in the possession of the first ganav, and the second ganav steals it from the first ganav. Says the Mishnah, he's not chayev kefel. Rabbi Simcha Mitvinsk is quite famous for Akasha, based on Reb Shimon, that Dovar Agorim L'Momen K'Momen Domi, which we discussed at great length in the last Shia. For example, if somebody steals chametz, and even if though it's worth nothing, after Pesach, it's chametz shel Pesach, that's a Dovar Agorim L'Momen, because the gazlan has a right to return the chametz to the nigzal and say Arei Shelcha Lefanecha, and that's called Mammon. And therefore, if we go with Reb Shimon Shita, Dovar Agorim L'Momen K'Momen, then in the case of Gonev Min HaGanov, he should be considered a Ganov because he's stealing Mammon. Excuse me, whose Mammon is he stealing? The Mammon of the Ganov, the first Ganov. Why is that called Mammon? Doesn't belong to him. And the answer is it does belong to him, because if he can return that animal back to the Nignav, then he patters himself up from all chiyuvim. So that animal, insofar as it's worth money for him, because if lost, it has to be replaced with the equal value, is called mammon. It's called bailus. It's called dover gomel mammon kim mammon tummy. And therefore, the ganav sheni should be chayv to pay kefel for stealing this object from the ganav rishon. And the arsameach offers an answer here with regard to din kefel, that this halacha of that if the chayfetz that generates a chiv kefel is found in its original rightful place, meaning in the rishus of the nigzal of the owner, then taking it out of that rishus engenders a chiv kefel. But if the object is in a place where anyone is mitzuva to take that object and return it to its bailim, that object does not generate a chiv kefel on someone who takes it, even if he takes it for the purpose of gzela. Frankly speaking, I'm not sure where the source for such a thing is, that kefel only applies when you take it out of the rishus of the bailim. But be that as it may, Omar Rav lo shanu elo lifnei yeush, aval yachar yeush, kno ganav rishon, v'ganav sheni v'shalom teshlumi kefel, ganav rishon. When do we say, says Rav, that gonev in a ganav, or gonev achar a ganav, is potter from kefel? That's only because the nignav was not misyai. She's really looking around to try to find the ganav and get his object back. He doesn't despair. And possibly because he holds that the authorities will help him to identify the ganav who snuck in stealthily into his backyard and stole something. Any event, there was no yeush. If there was no yeush, then clearly the object that was stolen, the animal that was stolen, belongs 100% to the nignav, to the one from whom it was stolen. He's the original bailim, he remains the bailim. In such a case, you could talk about gonev achar ganav, that the second ganav did not steal it from the base bailim. Avol, but let's say nignav declares explicitly in front of two Aiden, for example, that he's misyayish. He gives up hope. He didn't recognize, he couldn't identify the ganav. He doesn't think anyone will come and identify the ganav. Then we have a principle called yeush kone, that the gazlan is kone the object through yeush. to such an extent that it's possible that there is, in a case of a carbon, there won't even be mitzvah baba vera. In the case of a lulav gozel, there won't even be mitzvah baba vera. Because the yeish changes the whole situation, because now the ganav has complete kinyonim on the chefetz. If that be the case, says Rav, if the ganav through yeish is kone, then now he becomes the base bialim, and the second ganav is chayev kefel when he takes it out of the reshus of the ganav. That's not called gonav in a ganav, that's gonav in a bialim, because the ganav now becomes the bialim. And how did that happen, that the bialim, all of a sudden the ganav became a bialim? And the answer must be because there was yeush on the part of the nigzal. There's a whole debate here. In the later, I would say, the early Achronim, after the Tekufa, the Rishonim, about the din of a Gazlan with regard to Tmei Gneva, and is the din of a Gazlan with regard to the Chiv of Tmei Gneva, Gamkein, O Shigami Zepotahu? In other words, what happens to the Gonev Minaganov? What's his status? And according to the Nesivis, for example, the Ketzos seems to agree with him, Eino Gazlon Klal, meaning that the Gonev and a Gazlon is not even Chayv and Keren. But the later Achronim say, no, he's Chayv and Keren. Omer Rav Sheshes, Amina, I thought, that Rav was half asleep when he made this statement. Because we have a brisa that's explicitly against Rav. Omer Rabbi Akiva, mipnei ma omer Torah, tavach u'mochar mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. And I'm not sure, Rabosai, if Rabbi Akiva is asking a philosophical or a drush kind of question, or he's asking a halachic question. We'll see how the Gemara understands Rabbi Akiva. So what's the basis for the Chiv Dal Vehei in Tavach U'Mochar? Says Rabbi Akiva, Nation Nishtaresh Bechet. Nishtaresh Bechet means that he's digging deep roots in a very strong and deep chet, meaning he's repeating his chet, or making his chet into a more profound chet. Why? Because not only did he take the object out of the reshus of the bialim, but he did so in a complete irreversible way by shechting the animal, by selling it. Now, the question is, how did the ganav remove the gneva from their reshus through tavach u'mochar, from the reshus meaning of the nigzal? I can understand tvicha, because as a result of tvicha, the animal is completely changed. I mean, it's gone. You could call it a shini mais, if you will. But in the case of Achira, when he sells the shara set, is how could that be considered as if he made this gneva irreversible, or he added and clinch the Gneva, you know, on the highest level that now, forget it, the Gneva doesn't even a shot at. Oh. Amos. In order to understand Rabbi Akiva, we have to ask ourselves, well, at what point in time, and we'll see this means either before Yeush or after Yeush, do we assume that the sale took place, and as a result of that sale, the Ganov push the animal, so to speak, figuratively, even further away from the reshus of the nigzal. Ilema lifnei yeush. If he went in and he sold it before yeush, and here we're going to look at samaches amet aleph, is mi ika nishtaresh, meaning nishtaresh bechet. Can you tell me that before yeush, the mechira is meaningful? It is valid and legally binding. There's no such thing as a ganov achieving a shini reshus without yeush, and therefore the ganov has no kinyonim on this object. How can he possibly sell it? So to say that the selling of it is nishtaresh bechet, it's an extension of gneva in the sense that the nignav is even further removed from his object. In the case of mechira, that's impossible if it's before yeush. Ella, by process of elimination, li achar yeush. The only way we could understand Rabbi Akiva's nishtaresh v'chet is if the sale, the ganav selling it, was after Yeush Bailim, is Vesal Kedaitach Yeush Kani, is Amai Misham Teshlumi Arba V'chamish Shalo Tovach Shalohu Mocher. If the parsha of Tovachu Mocher is talking about after Yeush, and you want to tell me that Yeush itself is a kinyan, and as we saw, Rabba is of the opinion that Yeush is Kona in Gzela. I'm not sure if it's Doraisa Drabonon, but in any event, according to that school of thought, that Yeush itself, Bichdi, is Kona, is Amai, why should he be Chayav for being Tovechu Mocher? Since there was Yeush in this parish, otherwise the Mechir would be meaningless, it's not Nishtarish Bechet, then the Tficha should not be able to generate a chiyuv penalty of Dalet Vehe, because Shalohu Tovech, Shalohu Mocher. There was already a kinyan through Yeush. It doesn't belong to the Bailim. And when he shechts it, he shechts his own shor, his own seh. Therefore, we must conclude, says the Gemara, by virtue of this analysis of Rabbi Akiva's Nishtarish Bechet and the Machayev of Dalet Vehe in the case of Mechira, that Yeush is not Kona. And if Yeush is not Kona, therefore when he takes it out of the Rishus Bailim, he can only fully take it out of the Rishus Bailim at the time of the Mechira. That the Yeush itself is not enough to clinch the kinyan of the Ganov, otherwise he wouldn't be Chayav for a Tavachum Machar, but it is enough to set up the Mechira, in order to facilitate the Mechira, because at the moment of the Mechira he has both Yeush and Shina Rishus, the combination of Yeush and Shina Rishus engenders a valid kinyan, a valid mechira, and that's called nishtarish bechet. But this is all predicated on the assumption that we're talking liachar yeush, and yeush is not kona. If it was before yeush, then the mechira would be totally meaningless. He can't sell something that doesn't belong to him. And if it's after yeush, then if he was kona be yeush, then how can he be chai for dalet vehe since he's shechting his own animal? It must be that even though Yeush is not Kona, Yeush is a stepping stone, if you will. It is a conduit to set up a Shini Rishus. And at the point at which he sells the animal following Yeush, then the kinyan is clinched to the Lokeach, and that's called Nishtarish Bechet. Amri, the Gemara says, no, your proof from this Brice of Rabbi Kiva that Yeush is not Kona, and you want to thereby, through this Brice of undermine the Shita of Rav, that Rav said that after Yeush, the Ganav is Kona, and therefore the second Ganav is Chayav when he steals from the first Ganav. Says the Gemara Amri, I don't think that that's a valid proof. Kidama Rava. We're going to have a statement of Rava later on in the Sugya, in which Rava says that the Brice of Rabbi Kiva is not referring to Nishtarish Bechet, but rather Mipnei Sheshana Bechet. Sheshana Bechet. Now, the concept of Shana Bechet seems to mean when it's more of a psychological discussion about how a person repeats the sin over and over again, and it has an impact on his soul, so to speak. The Eitz Hara is still leading him from the sin, further down the path of sin, not letting him, not allowing him to be freed from its clutches and break away from the influence of the Yetzer Hara and do tshuva from his rishus. In other words, what's going on over here is that when the ganav slaughters the animal or sells the animal, he wants to add pleasure and benefit from his gzela. And in that sense, he's shona bechet. Like the Gemara says elsewhere, that when a person is shona bechet, he has a status of a rasha, and he is a habitual criminal. His yetzahara is going to be massive. His nasaloke heter. He begins to justify his actions and think it's mutter. So again, according to this Rava, we're reformulating. It's not nishtarish bechet by taking the Chefta Gozel and pushing it further and further away from the Bailim of being Motzi the Gnevi Mishus Bailim, but rather, according to this interpretation, even if the Ganav is not capable of taking the object out of the Shus Bailim through this Mechira, because again, we're talking about Tovachu Mochar, not Shalohu Tovach, and shalom mocha, but rather it belongs to the nignav. And the reason it belongs to the nignav, it's because it's before Yeush. And if it's before Yeush, how the heck can he sell something that doesn't belong to him? But the answer is, it's not that the sale is valid, but what the Torah is saying is that he's shona b'chet. And therefore, the chiv tficha mechira is only before Yeush. Because again, if there was Yeush, Rav is correct, and you would be Kona, the Ganav would be Kona be Yeush, and therefore you wouldn't be Chayef for Tficha Mechira, Shalohu, etc., etc. But rather, he's selling it before Yeush, and you'll ask me the obvious question, well, what do you mean selling it before Yeush? That's a ridiculous concept. The Torah could never validate a sale before Yeush, because he's selling something that doesn't belong to him, but the answer is, the Torah is Mechayef him for these actions, because he's trying desperately to be Nene from these actions. That's called Shana Bechet. And it's very interesting because the Gemara's language here of Kida Omar Rava, usually when the Gemara says Kida Omar so-and-so, the Gemara's intention is that to the same extent so-and-so made a statement in a different context, we could apply it here as well. In this Gemara that we're learning, Rava really said this Svara to interpret our Brisa. It's not that we're borrowing a statement from Rava from a different context. Rava, when he said Shana Bechet, that was his interpretation of this brisa. So that's what I think the Gemara means here when it says Kida Omar Rava Tashma. Now the Gemara wants to prove from a different brisa that Yeush is not Kona against the Sheet of Rav. And that's based on a brisa that's analyzing the parsha of Tvicho Mechira. And the brisa reads Utvacho O Mecharo. The Torah says, Utvacha o Macharo, in order to teach us some analogy between Tvicha and Mechira. Ma Tvicha, She'ena Chozeres. In the case of Tvicha, it's irreversible. Once the animal is shechted, it's dead. There's no Tchias HaMesim for animals. Is Af Mechira, She'ena Chozeres. We have to find a Mechira which the Torah says Yechayah for, because that Mechira is final. It's irreversible. It's not less reversible than the death of the animal through Tvicha. Now, how can you imagine a Mechira that's irreversible, that's Eino Chozeres, that's irretractable? It means that the Nignav will never get his Chefetz back. And the answer is Ilema Lifnei Yeush. If the sale of this animal was before Yeush, and that's why it's Chayev Dalet Vehei, is Amai Eino Chozeres, how can you tell me that it was a final sale? The sale is not meaningful at all. And again, even though you call it Shana Bechet, and it's some sort of fictitious look-like a Mechira, but it's not a Mechira, and therefore you can't call it a Mechira She'eino Chozeres. Eli, you're going to have to assume Li'achar Yeush. It means that the reason why this Mechira is final is because the Ganav sold the object to a third party, to a buyer, after the Nigzal, the original owner, was Misyayish. Now, what's going on over here? You want to tell me that's a Mechira She'eino Chozeres, it's a final, irretractable Mechira, Salka Daita Kanye, if Rav is correct that the Ganav was Kona B'Yeush, then again we're back to the old problem of Dalet Vehei. We must assume that Yeush is not Kona. And the Chiyuv is that by virtue of the Mechira, since the Kona has not only the Yeush Bailin, but he also has the Shini Rishus, that's why the Mechira is a Mechira She'eino Chozeres. And the reason why the Torah imposes this penalty of Dalet Vehei in the case of Mechira is because that Mechira is a valid Mechira, not by virtue of Yeush, but by virtue of Yeush plus Shini Rishus. Again, just to summarize, in order to validate the equation between Tvicha and Mechira to set up a Mechira Sheino Chozeres, we're going to have to exclude the possibility that we're talking about Lifnei Yeush, because then it wouldn't be Eino Chozeres, the whole Mechira is a fiction. If, on the other hand, it's after Yeush, if you can tell me the Yeush is Kona, then you have the problem, why should it be Chayev for Tvicha Mechira? But the answer is that the mechira is ein chozeres because of yeish plus shini rishus. So the Gemara rejects this and says, no, you cannot prove from this brisa that yeish is not kone. And it's possible to say that the brisa is talking about a case where there was mechira before yeush. You'll tell me that the brisa establishes that you're not chayv for mechira unless it's a mechira she'ena chozeres. That's not what the brisa has in mind. Is not a mechira that is lo ho ila lahaknos lekona legamre, but rather kida omar Rav Nachman prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom. Yisachinami prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom. We thought that this mechira she'ena chozeres meant kipshuta, that it's got to be a mechira that's a complete valid kinyan. No, that's not so, because we're talking before yeish. That's not going to be a complete, absolute valid kinyan. But what we're talking about is a kinyan lizman. Let's say, for example, the ganav sells the object for 30 days of malacha. That's not a kinyan gomur. That's not a complete kinyan. That's only a 30-day kinyan. That's what the brisa is coming to exclude. And I believe, I have no proof of this, that the Gemara's answer is predicated on Rava of Ibnei Shoshana Bechet. We're talking about, according to the brisa, a mechira before yeush. Obviously, that mechira before yeush is not valid. Again, the Rishonim talk about a case where he sold it before yeush, and then after the mechira there was yeush, but that's not relevant to us right now. If the mechira is not valid, then we must be discussing Shana Bechet. The Brisa says you need a mechira Shana Chozeres. That means that as far as the mocher is concerned, the ganav, it's a mechira Shana Chozeres, meaning he's not expecting to get it back because he gave a 30-day tanai. But as to whether or not befall the kinyan is chal, no, the answer is it's not a valid kinyan, it's eno shalo. And if it's eno shalo, you can't sell something that's not yours, but it's before yeush. Had it been after yeush, and echnami the ganav be kona be yeush. Meisvei, the Gemara now asks from a different brisa. There are three halachos in the case of gonev menaganav. The first halacha is that if there was one ganav, we'll call him ganav number one, and now the second ganav number two, steals it from the first ganav. And then, Ganav Umachar, the second Ganav, not only stole it from the first Ganav, but he went ahead and he sold it. And then, Ba'acher V'Ganav. Now, the third Ganav came along, and he stole it from the Lokeach, who bought it from the second Ganav. Then, Hashlishi, In the third in this series, in this Ganav, went ahead and he shechted it. So let's again talk about three different scenarios. The first scenario is that Reuven steals it and Shimon steals it from Reuven. Fine. Scenario number two is Reuven steals it and he sells it, and Shimon comes along and he steals it from the Lokeach. Scenario number three is where Reuven stole it, he shechted it, and then someone stole the shechted animal from the Rishon. So now, in the first case, as the Brisa says, let's read the Brisa. Ganav uba'acher ugnovo. The second one stole it from the first Ganav. Is a Rishon Mishalim Tashlime Kefel. The first Ganav clearly pays Kefel. Vasheni Eina Mishalim Ela Keren. He only pays the Keren Bilvat. Now, to whom does he give the Keren? So Rashi learns that he gives the Keren to the first Ganav. So the second Ganav pays Keren to the first Ganav. Okay, let's leave it at Rashi for the time being. In this first case, there is no Chiv Kefel imposed upon the second ganav, he only pays keren, and the reason for that is the Torah says ki yitein ish al reyu kesef akeim lishma v'gunav v'beisa ish. And imotza ganav yishalim shnayim. And when it says v'gunav v'beisa ish, it means it was stolen from the house of its original rightful owner, not from the house of a ganav. And the pasuk itself is referring to kefel and setting the limitations for kefel. Now let's go on in the braisa to the second in ganav. Umachar. Now the ganav sold it, the first ganav. Uba achir gnovo, and ganav number two steals it from the lokeach. Now the presumption here is that the lokeach becomes the rightful bailim when he buys it from the first ganav because he was kona with yush and shinui rishus. Is now the braisa says. Is Harisha Mishalim Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha. The first ganav who sold it now is to pay Dalet V'Hei, obviously to the Baal Ashar or Seh. Vasheni, the second one, Mishalim Tashlume Kefel, to the Kone, to the one who bought it from the ganav Rishon, because the one who bought it from the Rishon now became, established his full fledged rightful ownership. And now we get to the third din, ganav, a person steals a Shor and Sevet Tavach, and then he shechts it. Uba acher ugnovo mimeno. Now the second ganav steals the carcass, presumably from the first ganav. Harishon mishalm teshlumi arba v'chamisha. Obviously, the rishon who shechted it after he stole it pays dalet v'hei. Vasheni eni mishalm teshlumi kefel el karen bilvad. For stealing these body parts of the animal was already shechted. He only pays keren and not anything more than keren. The Gemara later on is going to ask, why doesn't he pay kefel? After all, the ganav rishon was kona b'shinui maisa when he shechted it. The Gemara says the following, k'toni mi'a mitzios, and these three dinim that are outlined in this price of the middle case is the case where the first ganav, Ganavu machar, uba acher ugnovo. The ganav sold it to a buyer, and the second ganav came and stole it from the buyer. Is a risha mishal tushvav v'chasheni mishal teshlume kefel? The second one has to pay kefel to the buyer. Amos, what's the case? Ilei malifnei yeush is a mai mishal teshlume kefel to the lokeach. Is Shini Rishus below Yeush is not enough to establish Bailus. The buyer could not establish his Bailus if there was no Yeush. Oh. And therefore, Mi Ikol Aman Di Omar Dikni, is there anyone on the face of the earth, any Tana, Mora, Rishon Achron, anyone who would say that without Yeush, the Lokeach could establish his full-fledged ownership on the object, when the Bailim themselves were not Messiahish? That makes no sense. Again, the Gemara is going to answer later on that maybe there was Yeish after the Mechira, before the second one stole it. Fine. But right now, as we see it in front of us, there's no Yeush, and therefore the Lokeach does not establish his ownership. How then could the Gonev min al-Lokeach, the second Ganov, be Chayev Kefel? Elapshita, we have to assume that he sold, the first Ganov sold it Liachar Yeush. And what that means is that the Hakna, the Mechira, from the first Ganov to the Lokeach was clinched by a combination of Yeush and Shini Rishus, and now that the Lokeach has established his full-fledged ownership, the Gonev, number two, who stole it from the Lokeach, is considered Gonav Mibesa Ish Mibes Bailin. V'isakadach Yeush Koneh. If you're telling me that the Ganav, the first Ganav, is Kona with Yeush, and that means with Yeush alone, even without Shini Rishus. Because again, we're talking about after Yeush. So that Rav now would hold that after Yeush, the Ganav is Kona complete Kinyan, even without Shini Rishus. It's his. Is Amay Mishal Teshlumi Arba V'Chamish the Dehu Dizabin. he is actually selling something belongs to him. Why should it be chayv dalad vehe for that? In other words, as far as the Gan of Sheni is concerned, we have covered all our grounds. For sure, the lokeach is established as bailus, and the Gan of Sheni min alokeach is chayv kefel to the lokeach. That we understood. But if we're talking about a case where the Ganav was Kona B'Yeush, why does the Braisa say in the middle case that the Rishon pays Tashlumi Arav Chamisha to the Baal Asher, Baal Aser? After all, he was selling his own object, he was Kona completely B'Yeush. The Gemara goes on and asks a second Kash. Visu, the Ketani Reisha, let's go back to the first case. The first din of the three din of the Braisa, Ganav U'Bo'achu, Gnav Rishon Shal Tashlumi Kefel. Ve'asheni ein mishalem ela keren. The Rishon who stole it pays kefel. The sheni who stole it from the Rishon only pays keren. Michdi liacher yeish kaimin. We've already established that the Braisa, based on the Emtsoisa, is discussing a case where there was Yeush. Now, if there was Yeush, and according to Rav, Yeush is Kone, Salkedaitach Yeush Kone is Amai Enim Shalim El Keren, why shouldn't the second Ganov pay Kefel? Because once the Nignav was Misyayish, the Ganov Rishon now is Kone the Chefetz, according to Rav, and therefore it's his. Now the second Ganov steals it from the first Ganov, he should be Chayev Kefel. Elo lav shma mino, Yeush lo koni, v'kasha l'rav. We have to derive from this braisa that Yeush is not Kona. Let's just go over the two proofs that Yeush is not Kona. First, from the middle case, that the Rishon who went ahead and sold it is Chayev Dal Vehe. And why should it be Chayev Dalvei if it's after Yeush? We proved it was after Yeush. He now is the rightful owner of the object, and when he sells it, he's selling his own. And number two, unless you assume that Yeush is not Kona, we don't understand why the Gan of Sheni in the first case of these three Dinim is Potter from Kefel. After all, the Rishon was Kona with Yeush. It must be that Yeush is Lo Koni. Omar Rav Tizvara. According to you, Mr. Makshan, who asked this question on Rav, that you hold that Yeush is not Kona, Hametaretzta he. And I think he's asking it in a kind of rhetorical question form. Hametaretzta he? In other words, does this brisa make any sense in and of itself internally? After all, even the way you want to learn the Braisa is difficult, because Elo Diktani Seifa, if we take a look at the third din, the final din of the series of three dinim recorded in this Braisa, is Ganav Etovach, Uba Acher Gnova, Risha Mishal Teshlumi Arbav Chamish Sheni Mishalim Ekeren Amiko Man Diomar Shinu Maisa Lokani. Why should the Sheni who stole the carcass from the Rishon be potter from Kefel? He's only Chayv Keren. After all, certainly the Ganav was Kona with Shini Maisa. The Ganav Rishon changed the animal by shechting it, and he made it a kinyan of his own, and therefore the Ganav Sheni, who stole the limbs, or the carcass, and the animal, should certainly be Chayv Kefel. And therefore, we are forced, willy-nilly, to reinterpret this price in such a way that it would not be Shver, it would not be a contradiction to Rav. Li olam kula lifnei Yeush. The entire braisa from tip to toe, from top to bottom, is talking about before Yeush. But the epuch seifa limitziyasa, umitziyasa lisefa. We're going to have to play with this braisa like we play with silly putty and move things around a little bit. We're going to have to be mahapech this braisa. What it says in the end of the Braisa has to be switched with what it says in the middle of the Braisa. What it says in the middle of the Braisa has to be switched with what it says in the end of the Braisa. And we're going to have to, in a sense, do a chalif in here and a switch and an exchange in the psak halacha between these dinim in the second and the third cases in the Braisa of Emahachi. And here's how we have to say it. Ganav umachar. If we're talking about a case where the first Ganav sold it. Ubach or Gnoven the second, Ganav steals it from the Lokeach. Harishon Mishalim Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha V'Asheni Eina Mishalim Ela Keren. It means that we're talking about Lifnei Yeush, and therefore if it's Lifnei Yeush, the Ganav never made a kinyan on it, that's why he's chayav dalet vehei for selling it. The second one, who stole it from the lokeach, is not chayav kefel, because after all, the lokeach did not establish a valid kinyan. Right? The shinui reshus below yeush lo kani, as we've established earlier, and this is a premise that no one doubts, it's absolutely universally accepted, that Shini Rishus, when the Gan of Rishon sells it to the Sheni, and all you have is Shini Rishus, there was no Yeush, is Lo Kani. So therefore the Behema really belongs to the Rishon, and the Sheni, who steals it from Lokeach, is not going to be Chayv Kefa, because he didn't steal from the base Bailin. And now we continue in the Brice, according to this reformulation, Ganav v'tovach ubar acher ugnovo. The first Ganav shechted the animal, he's chayv dalet vehei. And now, Ganav sheni, number two, steals the carcass from him. Is harishon mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha v'asheni mishalem tashlumei kefel dekan. You know, it's that which it says in our text, in the Emtzaisa, that the Ganav sheni pays kefel? No. That's referring to the third case where the Ganav Sheni stole the carcass of the animal. The Ganav Rishon was Kone, the animal, through Sheni Maisa, because he shechted it and now becomes his. And the Ganav Sheni, therefore, when he steals the carcass from the Ganav Rishon, he's stealing it from the real, genuine Bailim, and therefore he has to pay Kefel. And now we can answer two objections that were raised from this price against Rav. Number one, you asked about Rav, that since we understood that the price is talking about a case li achar yeush, is therefore we don't understand the mitziyasa. Why should the Ganav Rishon be chayav for a mechira dalet vehei, since he's selling his own? The answer is because it's before yeush. And then you asked a question from the Sefer, why shouldn't the Sefer be generate a chiv on the Ganav Sheni to pay Kefel? The answer is, Enochinami, the Sefer should be read or reformulated as saying that he pays Kefel. Now, the Gemara wants to reject the proof of Rava from the Sefer that we have to change the Giras and the Braisa. Rapapam l'olam lo tepuch. You'll ask me if Leolam lo tepuch, so why should the Ganav Rishon, excuse me, the Ganav Sheni, not pay Kefel? After all, the Ganav Rishon, when he shechted, it was Kone Bishinui Maser. The answer is Seifa Beit Shammai Hi. And we've already had the Shita Beit Shammai, Di Amri Shinui Bimkoma Omet. Right before we had a Girus of Ometis, now it's corrected by the Bach, the Omet. In other words, the Ganav is not Kona the Gneva by shechting it Bishinu Maisa according to Beit Shammai, because the Behema Shechuta still belongs to the Bailin. And that's why the Ganav Sheni, who steals the carcass from the Ganav Rishon, doesn't pay Kefel. The Gemara says, Ihochi, if this Braisa is talking about even after Yeush, is Kasha, Reisha, Umetziyasa L'Rav, we're still left with the kashas that we had from the first case and the second case of the Brice on Rav, because we saw that in the first din and the second din, in this three din in Brice, Yeush is not Kona. So Gemara says, Omar Rav Zvid, Li Olam Kula Lifnei Yeush. Not the way you understood it, that this Brice is talking after Yeush, and we must assume that Yeush ain't a Kona, but rather it's talking about Lifnei Yeush, and now there's no kasha on Rav from the Reisha, because the Ganav was never Konit, and that's why the Ganav Sheni only pays Keren, and we don't have to be Mahapich the Braisa, and we get to the Sefer when he was Ganav at Tovach, and then the second Ganav doesn't pay Kefo on stealing the carcass, that we can say is attributable to Beit Shammai, because Shinu Bim Komo Omed. V'hacha, now what are you going to do with the mitziasa? Because in the mitziasa it says that if he stole and sold it, now the second ganav steals it from the lokeach, the ganav rishon has to pay dalet v'hei, the ganav sheni has to pay kefa to the lokeach. And the kasha was that according to Rav, if Yeish is Kona, why does the Ganav Rishon pay Dal Vehei? He's selling his own object. V'may Eskinin Shenis Yashu Abaylim V'lokeach V'lonis Yashu Baganov Tahavi Le Yeish V'shini Rishus is a Girsa issue here. In any event, what Rav Zvid is suggesting here, in order to interpret to explain and justify the mitziyasa according to Rav, is that the case is that Enochinami, after the mechira was done in the mitziyasa, there was Yeush Bailim, but it took place while or after the behema was already delivered into the hands, into the rishus of the lokeach, and now Lonis Yashu Beganov. What does it mean? Lonis Yashu Beganov. The issue is exactly when did this Yeish Bailim take place? Because there are two possibilities. It could have been that the Yeish Bailim took place at the time of the Ganov, meaning before after the Ganov stole it, but before he sold it. Or it could have been that the Yeish was postponed, it didn't take place, until after he sold it. Comes along Rav Zvid, and he wants to interpret this as a case where Enochinami there was Yeish, and that's why the Lokech was Kona, but that Yeish was Chal at the moment subsequent, any moment subsequent to the Lekicha, when the animal was in the domain of the Lekicha. Now the Lokech is Kona with Yeish and Shini Rishus. And therefore, the gonev min alokech is chayv kefa. But you ask me the question: if there was already yeush, why is it that the ganov is chayv dalet vehei? The answer is because that yeush was postponed until a later time. As long as the ganov had it and went ahead and sold it, there was no yeush yet. And therefore, if there was no yeush, then the animal still belongs to the nigzal, and the gazlan through mechira will now engender a chiyuv dalet vehei. But here we have a little bit of a girsa problem, because it says dahavi le yeush v'shinu rishus. If you look at the hagos hagra here, note os aleph, he takes out the words dahavi le yeush v'shinu rishus, because the Gemara has already established that he's not kona mishum yeush and shinu rishus. And according to the Gon, it seems that he wants to take out the words Shini Rishus. The Gemara says Velo Tema, and now you might argue that that which the Bryce and the Mitzios in the middle case establishes the Chiyuv of the God of Sheni B'Kefel Dafka in this way, and in truth, the Bryce should have explained that already in the Reisha, in the more simple case, the Ganav Sheni, who stole it from the Ganav Rishon, after Yeish Bailim, in which case the Ganav stole it, the Ganav Sheni should pay kefil to the Ganav Rishon. And now you're holding that we're talking about a situation where there was Yeush, and that's Rav Zvid's breakthrough, Liolam Kul Lifnei. I'm sorry. Well, let me read to you this interpretation, this translation. V'lo tema al tomar. Shemasha b'raisa he'emida b'mitziasa es hachiyuv shal aganav ha'sheni b'kefel dafka ba'ofen zeh. Meaning that there was yeush not in the rishus of the ganav, but rather there was yeush in the rishus of the lokeach. V'lo bira kein kvar b'raisa. And the Braisa L'chora could have explained already in the Reisha, b'ofen Poshet Yoser, Shasheni Gonav Min HaRishon Achar Yeush Bailim, that the second Ganov stole it from the Rishon after there was Yeush Bailim, Shekona HaGanov HaRishon B'Yeush, and again, for holding like Rav, Yeush is Kona, And therefore, lekach aganav asheni mishalom kefel aganav arishon kevin shu bailov shel hachefetz. In other words, in this brisa, in the resha, it says ganav ubach or gnava arishon mishalom tishlikeni sheni ena mishalom el keret. But why not assume, or why couldn't the brisa have presented in such a way that there was yesh already at the time of the first ganav, and the second ganav therefore should be paying kefel to the first ganav? And you might say that the reason for that is al tomar shezeu mishum debeinon yeush v'shini reshus, that we reject Rav and we assume that you need both yeush and shini reshus, and therefore the ganav sheni will in no way, no how, have to pay kefel to the ganav rishon, because even if there was yeush, but nevertheless, there was no shini reshus. You don't have to say such a thing. Elo afilu b'yeush l'chudei nami koni gabi ganav. I could always maintain that Rav is correct. The ganav is kona with yeush. Elo, if you'll ask me, why didn't the Braisa tell us that the ganav sheni is chayv kefal to the ganav rishon after there was yeush? The lomish kachas demishalme travayu, that you can never come up with a case in which both of them pay, meaning gam ganav rishon ve gam ganav sheni, they both pay the knossos of kefel and arba v'chamisha el bahachi. Again, because if there was yeish birshus Haganav Arishon, then he would not pay Dal Vehei. And if, on the other hand, there was no Yeush, then why would the Ganav Sheni pay Kefel? The Lokeach was not Kona without Yeush. Ela Bahachi. The only way we could construct a case is Beofen She Yeh Yeush Eitzal HaKona Velo Eitzal HaGanav Arishon, that there would be yeush as far as the konas, so that the ganav min hakona is chayav kefel. That's the ganav sheni. But the ganav rishon is chayav dal vehei, because there was no yeush at the time of the ganav rishon. Meaning, while the stolen object was in the rishus of the ganav rishon. If there was already yeush at the time that the animal was in the rishus of the first ganav, then, as we said, we cannot be mechayev and dal vehei from the chir because shalohu mocher. And therefore, the way of getting the rishus to be chayev dal vehei would have to be when there was no yeush. The sheni, on the other hand, would be chayev kefel, because there was yeush already in the rishus of the lokeach, and therefore when the sheni steals it from the lokeach, he's chayev kefel. Or alternatively, since there was yeush in the hands of the ganav rishon, the ganav sheni is chayev kefel to the ganav rishon, because of Rav's principle that yeush is kone, and the gazlan rishon made a kinyan, and therefore the ganav sheni has to pay kefel to the ganav rishon. So that what we basically have is that if there was already yeush in the hands of the ganav rishon would not be chayev dalid vehei, and that's not going to help us to get both the ganav rishon and the ganav sheni to pay market isle, this one paying dalid vehei and this one paying kefel. Ve'ilu ba'ofen zeh harishon chayev arba v'sheni v'sheni chayev kefel. But if, on the other hand, there was no yeush in the rishus of the ganav rishon, that's why the ganav rishon pays dalid vehei for this mechira, because he didn't make a kinyan through yeush. But how do we arrive at, in addition to the dalid vehei chiv dalid vehei on the ganav rishon who sells it, a chiv of kefel on the ganav sheni? After all, if there was no yeush, why would the ganav sheni be chayav kefel for stealing it from the lokech? The lokech has no bailus over it. He's not the base bailim. The answer is because there was yeush birshus halokeach. And once it was Yesh Bishus HaLokeach, the Lokeach now has Yesh and Shini Rishus, and he's Kone with a full Kinyan, and therefore the God of Sheni is Chayev. So the God of Rishon is Chayev because there was no Yesh at that time. And therefore he was selling something that belongs to the Nigzal. The God of Sheni is Chayev Kefa because he stole it from the Lokeach after there was Yesh and Shini Rishus. And therefore we're going to have a situation, a scenario now where both pay Knossos. And that's why Rav Zvid interpreted this price as referring to a case where there was Yeush in the hands of the Kone, not in the hands of the Ganav Rishon. And the Mitziasa now is being interpreted as a case where there was no Yeush in the hands of the Ganav. That's the breakthrough of Rav Zvid. The Ganav therefore is Chayev Dal Vehef and Mechira. And it's very similar to what we're talking about in the Reisha. In the Reisha also there was no Yeush in the hands of the Ganav. And therefore we cannot say that the Ganav Sheni who steals from the Ganav Rishon is going to be Chayev Kefel, because the Ganav Sheni is not Vaguna Vibesa Ish, meaning that the Ganav Rishon doesn't have any ownership because it's before Yeush. Again, when I say before Yeush, I mean it's before Yeush Eitzel Ganav. And now we have no difficulty with Rav in any sense, in any shape or form, even without Lahapich as a Braisa. And we could always assume that the Braisa accepts Rav, as we're free to make that assumption that Yeush is Kona, and there's no kasha from this Braisa. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here.